much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
420.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey guys, you know no one should be out alone on Christmas? Well, no one should be without a bowl on 420. Yeah!
I think I'm having an overdose that has killed my wife.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. I don't know if it had something in it. Can you please send rescue?
Did you guys have fever or anything?
No, I think we're dying.
Okay, how much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies, and I think we're dead.
Today is April 20th, 420, if you will, which is the day we celebrate something. I forgot what it was. Hitler. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's pot. It's pot day today. Those of you who are cheering, by the way, you're the reason China is beating us.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I smoke a lot of pot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Does anybody have any drugs?
Roll up.
Smoke your weed.
This one seems to be about to quit.
How stoned are you two?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roll.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
I don't have another cent.
I've never been this high in my goddamn life.
But I don't want to guard that joint.
God damn it, I love pot.
Let's pass it around.
What a great pot party.
But I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
You got any weed?
And now.
You know, the best thing for a hangover is weed. Do you smoke weed?
Not really.
You don't?
No.
At all?
Mm-mm.
Like in the morning?
No, I just don't.
You know, it's like the best medicine. Because it fixes everything.
Our feature presentation.
That's accurate. That's science.
Yes, it is.
It's been funny.
Thanks, Omar, for making it so that we can't do a 420 show again this year.
Yeah, it's all Omar's fault every time we can't go out and do a live show.
I know.
We've had such good times on April 20th doing broadcasts from the past, right?
You know, it's funny. We used to do broadcasts all the time, and we would always make jokes about Omar and how out of control he was. Right. That was always the joke.
Because he was never able to come because he always had to work back at the station, so we were trying to rub it in.
Oh, he's on the roof. He's in his underwear. He's pouring alcohol everywhere. We make jokes, and then one time we let him out.
Right.
He really does it.
Turns out all of it was true. We could not have exaggerated it to the level that he really did get out of control to the point where now we can't go out anywhere.
That's correct.
So, way to go, Omar. Welcome in, party people. It is Friday. It is the 20th of April. And here's a great story. You know, the continuing battle between people who are for and people who are against infant circumcision continues.
A lot of people really
get worked up about this. A lot of people, you know, they end up, their whole identity ends up being whether they have a foreskin or not, which is kind of crazy because, you know, to me, it's like whichever one you have, that's the one you have. And that's what you are familiar with and you don't live that other life. But I guess some people, you know, they want the choice as an adult whether they want to keep their foreskin or not. They get ticked off when they find out that was taken away from them when they were born, right?
Yeah, those people are idiots.
I don't think it's generally that's generally the issue. It seems like generally it's people who don't get circumcised that later are upset that they have
didn't?
To do it.
No.
Yeah.
But those people
doesn't
at least
it?
Have the option. Those people can choose
they can
which one they want
it,
to do.
Yeah.
The people
yeah,
who have had it done, they're stuck. Like this guy in South Dakota who is suing the hospital where he was born because he was circumcised as a newborn. He says he only recently became aware that he had undergone the procedure and that it has robbed him from an entire lifetime of sexual prowess. He's 28 years old right now. He's asking in the lawsuit that he gets $1,000 compensatory damages.
That's it.
And that his foreskin be restored in hopes that he could feel whole again.
He's insane.
Yeah.
First of all, you sue your parents.
First of all, you don't sue because...
Right, but if you're going to, I mean, the hospital's doing what the parents tell them
to
do, right?
Of course.
Right, the parents would have had medical proxy at that point to agree to it. But he is claiming that the hospital at the time misled his mother into believing that the procedure was medically necessary.
Ah.
In other words, the hospital's at fault because they should have said, hey, you don't have to get your kid circumcised if you don't want to. Instead, what he's saying is they said, you have to get your kid circumcised. Therefore, the mom made a non-informed decision.
Ah. Does his winky not work?
Yeah, that's a good question because it doesn't mean it works either way.
He argues that the procedure was unnecessary, unethical, and without medical benefit. I was recently made aware of the fact that I'd been circumcised and that I was robbed of sensitivity during sexual intercourse, as well as the sense of security and well-being that I'm entitled to in my person. He also says that neither he or his partners have had that sensitivity during sexual intercourse or a normal sex life since he was old enough. How about that?
But he's comparing something he's never had. I mean...
Right, he doesn't know. He has no idea.
He has no idea. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. I don't think that's going to work.
Well, I don't know if this has anything to do with why the lawsuit was filed, but he is currently serving time in prison in South Dakota.
What?
So he's looking for things to do. Oh. But then again, it's a lawsuit that the courts will have to take seriously and decide what they're going to do about it.
He's not enjoying his prison sex, is
Are
he?
Are his partners in prison?
Doesn't say. I mean, look, I think he brings up an interesting question, but I think the answer is, hey, that's what your mom wanted to do. Take it up with her.
I would not be surprised if 20 or 30 years ago that the hospital basically said, no, you have to do this.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
The answer isn't even take it up with your mom. The answer is things are the way they are.
Oh, well.
Move on. just move on. There's nothing to be had here. Let's just take the next step, whatever it is.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
Okay. From this TV show Fringe.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fantastic. We have John Noble.
He's amazing.
He's Walter and Walternate.
Mm-hmm. Walternate?
That's what they call him? In the alternate world, yeah. Walternate. so good. We have Ziggy Marley on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Talking about the documentary called Marley, which I downloaded last night being on iTunes. You could already get it. I downloaded it so I could watch it, and then I fell asleep. So.
Of course you did.
I didn't watch it.
This has not been getting a lot of publicity, this documentary. It's a fascinating story, his father, Bob Marley, and I am interested to know more about it, but it has not been, I haven't heard anything about it, except, you know, I knew it was coming out, just, and that's about it. So I'm eager to find out what they've got, what kind of footage, what kind of story is being told here.
Comedian Patton Oswalt in the studio today.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah. One of our favorites. We have Dr. Jason Burke, who's going to tell you about Hangover Heaven, and this is a great service. Where if you're in Las Vegas and you're in trouble with alcohol, they'll come over with an IV.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
To your hotel room and hook you right up.
You know, every time we take calls on cures, you get the guys that run the ambulance.
EMT,
and they go, hey, I've got the cure. It's like, well, I can't do that.
Yep, you can.
Sweet.
Movie beat because it's Friday, and would you like to take that back?
Oh.
An all-new round. Mostly Bean.
How dare you?
A couple of Ralphs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up anyway. We will take a break and come back with the showbiz beat.
That's a lot of double clapping going on right there, guys.
Oh, mugs.
You always had to go one too many, didn't you?
Come on, we had it.
What a surprise. Mug wasn't on the same page as the rest of us.
Mm, shame.
Yeah. What a shock.
It is 5:51. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
We're the guys presenting Coachella House 2012. You can listen live from there all weekend long. Kevin, you decided not to go. You're actually not going to go to Coachella. Coachella is happening, and you're not going.
I know. It's driving me crazy today.
He's got his daughter's birthday party.
No, that's right. That's tomorrow or a week from tomorrow.
It's a week from tomorrow. But I think I would die if I went back. So it's probably smart for me not to.
Listen all weekend for updates and exclusive interviews on K-Rock Radio and, of course, on KROQ.com, too. And once again this weekend, I got a ton of people stopping by. It looks like a lot of fun. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Continues to be a big week for Showbiz Death. It's like Bean's favorite week of Showbiz Beats.
Must be.
We found out late yesterday that Levon Helm, legendary drummer and singer for the band, died yesterday, ending his long battle with throat cancer. He was 71 years old.
I was super bummed out about
it. If you're no fan of the band, you're no friend of mine.
I'm no fan of the band.
Oh, come on.
I love the band.
The band are just great. It's one of those bands almost everybody can agree on.
Yeah.
All right.
Just a great rock and roll, legendary American band.
It's not that I dislike them. I don't know anything about them.
You know them.
I don't.
You do.
Okay, I do.
Take the weight off Annie. Take the weight off me. Take the weight off Annie. The song The Weight? No.
Nope.
And you put the weight right on me.
Still no.
Best.
Let's move on.
Night they drove old Dixie down?
You gotta know that song.
Nothing?
I don't. Let's move on.
The night they drove old Dixie down and all the bells were ringing.
I know we've brought this movie up before, Kevin, but occasionally we can get you to check out a movie. Martin Scorsese did a documentary about the band called The Last Waltz. That's maybe the greatest rock and roll movie ever made.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
And it's Martin Scorsese.
It's really worth checking out. It's incredible.
Are we still talking?
I won't try to convince you any further by saying that they were also the backup band for Bob Dylan. I won't mention that. But he was one of the few drummers who used to sing lead for his particular band. Not a long list of those guys. He was a class act. He had a long-standing feud with his guitarist, Robbie Robertson, once they broke up. But apparently they were able to bury the hatchet shortly before he died. So that's nice news. But passed away yesterday. A relationship has died.
Uh-oh.
Our buddy Steve-O and Elizabeth Canales apparently have split up.
How did that not last forever?
You're going to be surprised when I tell you the story.
He broke up with her?
Yep.
No.
Sources tell RadarOnline.com.
I buy it.
That he broke up with her, largely because she's too wild for his taste.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
really?
Well, Steve-O's so committed to his sobriety these days.
He has to be sober, so she's not worried about that.
Apparently she likes to party, and just it was not a good combination.
Yeah, dude. That's somebody who's committed to sobriety.
I would say sobriety be damned, quite frankly.
She's unbelievable.
Angelina Jolie, another smoking hottie. Seems tough, right, on the outside? Doesn't seem like a tough broad?
Yeah.
But apparently she's a softie. When Brad Pitt proposed to her, friends say she cried like a baby. Apparently broke into tears. Of course, it was a pretty big diamond, so you can see why that happened. Apparently, Brad did it in front of all their 6 kids, and everyone gathered together for a group hug, and it was a very emotional moment for the entire family. So congratulations to Brangelina and their upcoming wedding, which I'm sure will be completely ignored by the tabloids.
Yeah, that's the way they do it.
They're not interested. Everyone's worried about how House is going to end. Oh, I'm so sad House is coming to an end.
How is House going to end, Ralph?
People are worried about it. All we know about the final episode is the title, which is Everyone Dies.
Really?
I'm assuming that's the producers of House having a good time at our expense.
That's a joke, right?
It is a joke. Okay. Actually, it's a play off the long-running gag on the show, which is the fact that everybody lies, something that Hugh's character, Dr. House, has always said about his patients. In fact, that was the name of the very first episode. Back in 2004, Everybody Lies, and now this episode's called Everybody Dies. Will Hugh Laurie's character become a mass murderer, one fan asks? Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to kill everyone. I'm more concerned that they're going to kill off House at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe his addiction might take his life. But it's Bobby! Then Bobby comes over and takes over the hospital. It's Dr. Bobby. The new spinoff on Fox. I hope you'll all watch.
Run for 10 years.
But if the show is going to be gone and they're not ever going to bring it back, so what if they kill off the title character?
Because people have an emotional attachment to Dr. House.
But it still makes it a great... It can be a compelling story arc.
I agree, but I think something like this, you could leave a movie open at any point in the future.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be cool. Then you don't want to kill him.
No. I'd like Bean's character to go that way, though. Will you arrange that somehow?
He doesn't have a character.
I know,
you
but
mean
I'm just
Bean
saying.
Himself?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I can hear you guys.
And ABC News announces the creation of...
What?
Dog TV, Kevin. It's a network.
It's not.
For dogs.
No,
it's
isn't.
It's dog TV.
Nope. You mean for dogs
no,
to watch?
No, that's not true.
Yes,
when
Lisa. Just these are for your people, Lisa. This is a network that you can put on for your dog. So when you go out, it's all dog TV all the time.
Aww.
You don't have to worry about what the programs are, Lisa,
awesome.
Because it's just programmed for dogs.
And then to make sure that they behave, about every 30 seconds, it goes, no!
Programs on the channel are designed to keep bored canines relaxed, stimulated, and entertained while their owners are at work.
No!
All the shows are filmed from a dog's point of view.
No!
And feature specifically designed images, sounds, and music written especially for dogs. It's Dog TV.
How can that make it when so much fails?
It's Dog TV,
Come
Kevin.
Come on.
You'll
be happy to know that Dog TV is already a huge success in San Diego and now is ready to go nationwide.
Oh, my God, no way.
So make sure your cable provider or satellite dish provides you with Dog TV.
Or don't.
No.
It's all shot from the dog's point of view. So I guess you get really close look at dog testicles.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Does
being licked.
Bo, the Obama's dog, have a reality show or anything like that on it?
I'm not sure what the programming consists of. I just know.
Uggy hosts Friday nights.
No. No.
Uggy does a movie review show.
No. 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 No.
We understand you're not happy with this.
No.
We got it.
No.
You're not a fan.
No. No.
Celebrity birthdays today, George Takei. Of course, the legendary Mr. Sulu from Star Trek.
Oh, my.
He's 75 years old
that
today.
That guy's the best. Don't, every time you see him, don't you just smile?
He is. He's an enormously entertaining, seems to be charming fellow.
And a happy person, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Yes. Actress Jessica Lange is 63 years old today. Clint Howard, brother of director Ron Howard, who...
Oh, the good Howard, the talented one?
Who would not work if it wasn't for his brother Ron. He is 53 years old. Dodgers manager Don Mattingly is 51 years old today. Actor Crispin Glover is 48. Speaking of Crispin Glover, do yourself a favor. Remember we were talking about David Lynch's Crazy Clown Time, his single? Crispin Glover's got a clown song, too, that he released years ago. And I think, I can't remember the exact name of it, but type in Crispin Glover Clown into YouTube, and the video will pop up. I'll bring it for you the next hour. We'll bring a little taste in. But it is, wow.
Just he's out there, too.
Yes, it is.
Way out
it's
there.
A battle of the crazies with these two clown songs. Andy Serkis, very talented actor, who was, of course, Gollum in Lord of the Rings. He was in Planet of the Apes. Specializes in motion capture acting. 48 years old today. Carmen Electra turns 40. Joey Lawrence from Blossom.
Whoa.
He's 36 years old, and model Miranda Kerr celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We are lucky enough on this show to have lots of comedians coming through the doors and spending time with us, but I got to say Patton Oswalt may be my favorite. I love him so much. He's so funny.
Unless Jay Moore is listening or a lot of other people.
Patton joins us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, also to celebrate 420. We'll catch up with Ziggy Marley on the show later on today, and Ralph, John Noble from Fringe will be here too.
Oh, I love Walter.
He's a notorious partier.
I love Walter.
Walter,
it's all coming up. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, we have a question for you. It's very simple. Would you
like to take that?
Sorry, that was too early.
No, perfect timing.
I hit it too early.
That was great. You're right on there. Would you like to take that back?
Sorry.
What you just did
right
there.
I'd like to take that mistake back, yes. All right, Bean, say it again.
Would you like to take it back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
We, we planned this show out, basically. We put down a theme. But we don't really have writers or anything. So we're trying to be funny sometimes, and it doesn't always work. And sometimes we needed this opportunity, which is to take back what we said.
Or sometimes it's hilarious and the people that you work with don't appreciate how funny you are.
Yes,
sometimes
that happens.
That could happen, too.
Yeah. Or sometimes it's, quote, hilarious and no one in the audience is with you.
No,
that's
not
true. And that's the point when you need to take it back. The first one, no surprise, is Bean.
How dare you?
Ralph's doing the showbiz beat. He's talking about the top earning rappers.
Jay-Z comes in second with $460 million. Owns part of the soon-to-be Brooklyn Nets, of course.
Yep.
Dre is third.
Wow, I forgot about Dre.
$270 million for Dre.
Put it in
the
file.
What? Put it in the file.
There's no question that's a file. Forgot about Dre. It's the name of a song, people.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Hold on now. Just a second. Let me just reinstate the rules. We don't need further clarification. Got it the first time.
None of these seem to be things that people say, I just don't understand that. No one ever says that about these moments.
I need further explanation of what you meant.
I wish I knew why he went there.
No one ever said that. I'm going to say no on this one. I don't see what the problem is. To me, it fit perfectly. It wasn't a stretch. It wasn't a crazy reach. I thought it was fine. I'm standing by. I forgot about Dre.
I'm going to allow that because later you're going to need to take one back. Or I'm going to
save up your take back.
I'm going to punch you in the face. All right. So now we've got Ralph.
What?
And he's doing the show biz, and he's talking about Boy George.
And Boy George got beat up last weekend. He was assaulted Saturday night at a club in London, he claims.
Doesn't seem like he needs any help in that arena.
I'm not sure I understand.
He has people over. Remember he had people over that beat him up?
No,
he beat
the other guy
up.
Oh,
he did? No.
He had the guy chained up in his bedroom. The guy escaped and had to call the cops. maybe this is
the guy getting him back.
Maybe this is karma, you know? Like a chameleon. Sometimes it changes. You never know how it's...
I'm just saying you never know with karma.
Put that
sometimes
file.
It changes and you can't expect the changes because it's very...
Oh, yeah.
File.
That's Bean, by the way, playing the Oh Yeah drop. Oh, yeah, because he loves it.
Because you set him up perfectly with your confusion over who did what.
Right. If I had to take my joke back, can Kevin take back the fact that he went a completely different way and told the wrong story about the guy and interrupted what I was trying
to
get across?
Both of
I'll totally
absolutely.
Take that back. I tried to edit it out because it doesn't help at all. But
much like in real time.
But yours was a stretch. It was a stretch.
Karma, yes.
At
first you said it was payback.
Yes.
And then I said, yeah, it was karma.
Yeah, but then Chameleon.
And he had a big hit with Karma. Chameleon was his biggest hit ever.
Would you take that back?
Don't you dare take that back, Ralph.
Oh, Ralph, I can smell that from here.
Thank you.
There's never been a more appropriate joke to make in the history of this segment than Karma Chameleon.
I'll tell you why, because Karma made perfect sense. Chameleon doesn't even...
You
mean it's
even
only the second
it.
Line in its biggest hit ever?
Yes, but it has nothing to do with the conversation. It doesn't fit. Like Beans, I forgot about Dre. All of those words at least fit the story.
Try
chameleon
to say karma when you're talking about Boy George and not say chameleon.
All right, would you take this back?
Boy George didn't say how or why he got beat up. He did post a photo of his swollen eye. No word on whether he filed a police report or not. Some of the police are speculating he just tumbled for you, and so that's
all. Oh, I'm saying it may not have been an assault. What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Would you like to take that?
I don't know what you're talking about there. I don't understand.
I'll tumble for you. The name of a Boy George song.
Oh, it's the name of a Boy George song.
Yes.
Oh, what an appropriate joke that would
but
have been then.
Bit of a stretch, don't you think?
No, no, I won't take either of those back. No,
oh, you're
no.
bad.
No. No.
And what about Bean?
That's do a we know definite file.
Anything about the guy who beat him up? I mean, do we know? Did he even really want to hurt him? I mean,
stop
is there,
it!
But I.
Come on.
Would you like to take that back?
That's Bean trying to co-sign your horrible comedy.
It's a fun game, Kevin.
It is a fun game.
I know,
game.
But I can't play, so.
You can't play.
I'm jealous.
Look, Ralph already had, the car had speed already, and I just jumped in and went along for the ride. If Ralph's not taking his back, I'm not taking mine back.
Wow.
This is falling apart.
This is not good. This is an opportunity to take stuff back, not to just stand by it.
I will pass on that opportunity, but thank you for your
offer. All right, here's Ralph, and you tell me you don't take this back, there's going to be some problems.
Today's celebrity birthdays, presidential candidate, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, 65 years old today.
Oh, he's going to have a party.
Oh, Mitt. I love a guy named Mitt.
That is a strange nickname.
Mitt.
What's it? President Mitt.
With the ticket. He's finally going to be ball, I guess, right?
Oh, file!
Would you like to take that back?
His vice presidential candidate is going to be named Ball.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You take it back?
Yes.
Oh. Would you like to take that back?
How about that?
Horrible reason.
That was really bad, right?
Really bad.
All right, this is the one that I'm going to insist Bean take back. I can't.
You don't get to insist,
but
way,
I have
just so
to.
You know.
I have to. This is Ralph doing the birthdays and the unbelievable reach that happens here back into time. It must have injured him.
James Farentino, the actor, is dead.
That's for you, Kevin.
I don't know who that is.
He was a big, big deal in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. One of those character actors you'd know if you saw him. He was on every TV show. He had a regular role in Dynasty. Most recently, probably best known for playing George Clooney's dad on ER.
Do you think this 30-second tribute is the most he has been discussed on any airwaves in the last 30 years?
Ever. No, because he was arrested in 2010 for beating a dude up. He was like 70. He was like 70, and he just smacked the crap out of a guy. Got busted for assault.
The guy accused him of not really going to the moon?
Wow, file.
That's a reasonable reference.
Yeah, well, we'll decide.
When old people beating people up? Come on.
Would you like to take that back?
Wow. No, I'm going to explain it because you people don't understand probably. And this is an old guy that got arrested for assault. Bean is reaching back to an astronaut named Buzz Aldrin who punched a guy when? 10 years ago?
At least.
Because the guy insisted that Buzz Aldrin did not land on the moon.
Right.
That's
See,
the reach.
I was confused that James Tarantino had the same problem.
You weren't confused at all. You were making a horrible joke that involved a story no one remembered.
Would you like to take that back?
Come on.
I'll take that one back.
Do the right thing. There you go. Now we finally at least got some. No. Just leave it and take it back.
No, I did. I took it back. Okay. I took it back, but I'm just saying.
No, you're just saying.
In our defense,
all good.
We're doing a live show for 5 hours every day, and not everything is going to be a home run. That's all I'm
saying. And that was a strikeout right there.
I'll take that
back.
All right.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that?
What if you woke up in Las Vegas and you found yourself with a bad hangover and you could make a phone call and have a guy deliver an IV to your hotel? What if that service was available?
That would be good.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. We're going to talk to the doctor behind Hangover Heaven coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, it's Friday. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
It's a mixed bag of movies opening up in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. A lot of nature films.
All right. Nature.
Which you don't see a lot of. Nature's good, right? We like nature.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
One of them is called To the Arctic 3D. You can see that on IMAX screens. It is a sweeping adventure, as you can imagine, of a mother polar bear and her 2 7-month-old cubs. As they navigate the changing Arctic wilderness they call home. So there's a little message in there as well about global warming as you watch these polar
Fantastic.
Bears struggle to survive in what used to be their native climate. Meryl Streep stars in the film as the narrator.
Hack.
I think she also plays the polar bear. I'm not sure. Look into that yourself. Also from Disney, we get Chimpanzee. Story of a 3-year-old chimpanzee who's separated from his troop and then adopted by a fully grown male. That sounds
yes,
a little
it does.
Suspect. Does the male drive a white panel van and offer the chimpanzee candy to come back to its apartment? I'm a little disturbed by this. These Disney action nature films are always amazing, but I always wonder how much is not scripted, but sort of manufactured. They always seem to come up with these amazing storylines that these animals are going through when they document their existence.
Right.
And I wonder how much is just made up crap. You know?
Well, I think what they do is, like they do with that Meerkat show, is they shoot thousands of hours of footage and then assemble a story from what they have of things that are already existing. You kind of turn it into a narrative.
Tim Allen narrates the movie. Here's a scene from Chimpanzee where Tim is telling us about monkeys eating.
Special fruit is coming to season beneath the waterfall. Sacoglottis. Try saying that 3 times fast. Freddy knows the fruit is a real bonus, so it's best to make the most of it. You can do it without teeth. No wonder Grandpa likes them. That's a good look. Not a lot of family photos with Grandpa.
Oh, no.
Wow, that doesn't sound good at all.
I got to hear Tim Allen doing improv comedy riffs.
That's terrible.
Like he's Bob Saget doing America's Top 10 Funniest Home Comedy Movies.
That's what it was called.
God damn, Tim Allen. Yeah. Why does he have to ruin everything? Also coming out this weekend, I didn't even know this existed. And it's one of my favorite directors. One of my favorite writer-directors is a guy named Lawrence Kasdan, who brought us The Big Chill, also wrote the original screenplay for Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's a great, great writer and director. His son, Jake, also a very successful director. This is called Darling Companion, the comedy about Diane Keaton and Kevin Kline, who play a husband and wife. Diane Keaton is a woman who loves her dog much more than she loves her husband. Then her husband loses the dog.
does not bode well for their relationship. Here's a little scene between Kevin Kline and Diane Keaton from Darling Companion.
Why are you turning on me? I didn't commit a crime.
There are a few pivotal moments in a person's life where one reacts exactly right or completely wrong.
I forgot the whistle.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
This is a difficult time for you, for both of us. And especially for a woman, there are physical changes that affect everything.
Oh, tell me about being a woman.
I think that the anger you're feeling is not actually about me. It's hormonal.
No, it's not menopause. It actually is about you.
I love Lawrence Kasdan.
It's Unlimited Release. You can check that out yourself. Marley, the documentary about legendary reggae singer Bob Marley. His son, Ziggy, also in the film. Jimmy Cliff makes an appearance. Documentary on the life, the times, the music, the legacy of Bob Marley. Here's a little taste.
He just didn't play for the fun of it, you know. It was part of the process, you know. Because before he writes a song, you burn a spliff. Then you go run so you can lively up yourself. And then you get more inspired so the lyrics can come out.
But tell the truth, we like play everywhere. Anywhere it is possible, you know.
What language is that in?
I hope that's subtitled. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I don't like to read when I go to a movie.
Oh, it's not for me. I don't like it. I don't speak Jamaica. Think like a man. Oh, F you. F you, think like a man.
My, what is it?
This is a movie based on a book by Steve Harvey.
Oh.
It's like a dating guide for women.
Oh, F you then. I'm with you.
Think Like a Man, Act Like a Woman was the book. This is the movie loosely based on the self-help book where they build a lame-ass story around the fact that Steve Harvey wrote this book.
All right.
Four male friends conspire to turn their tables on their girlfriends when they discover the women have been using Steve Harvey's relationship book.
They wrote Steve Harvey into it?
Yes!
Come on.
Yes! Chris Brown stars in the film.
Brilliant casting.
Abusive boyfriend Chris Brown, Gabrielle Union, Kevin Hart, and Michael Ealy all star in the film. How did this movie get made?
Good question.
Steve Harvey.
I guess.
He's popular, man. And this book has sold literally millions of copies. I mean, there's a huge fan base for him right now.
Don't like it.
Not for me.
Not for me.
Not here's for me. Although that Megan Good is in it, and she's a draw, I'll tell you that.
Here's a scene where one of the girls tells another one what a chirp-chirp girl is.
Steve says you have to set the requirements very high before you even get in the car, because you don't want to become a chirp-chirp girl.
A what?
Chirp-chirp! He just hits the locks and you hop in. He don't even have to open the door.
I don't go out on dates with guys who don't open the door for me.
Really?
Really.
Seriously?
Yes.
Aw, oh, man!
No, he didn't.
Wow!
Don't want to be a chirp-chirp girl. How's Tyler Perry not involved in this project? That's my other question.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there anything I want to see this weekend?
Well, The Lucky One with Zac Efron.
No, I said, is there anything I want to see this
weekend? Zac Efron plays a soldier who finds a picture of an unknown woman when he's in Iraq, and that becomes his good luck charm during the war. He gets home safe, so he decides to track her down because she's the lucky one. And so they're meant to be together, he thinks, in some weird, twisted, strange, stalkerish kind of logic.
Clearly for a movie logic.
Clearly. And if this guy did in real life, he would have a restraint order placed against him.
Yeah.
Because he'd be hunting down a stranger who would create a mythical relationship in his head with her. Simply because he found her photo.
Just the fact that Zac Efron is supposed to be a soldier is enough to run me off.
He trained with a Navy SEAL for this movie. You don't know. The Lucky One. Here's a scene where Zac is telling this girl that maybe she deserves better than him.
He wants you out of my life. I can't risk losing Ben.
I'm sorry, Ben. I didn't come here to make things harder for you.
You don't know what I'm dealing with.
I do know that you deserve better than this.
Yeah.
He's right.
He's right. Deserves better than that movie. So, that's what you got this weekend.
Time to catch up on something you missed.
I say go watch Tim Allen making fun of monkeys. What else are you going to do? They eat fruit. Monkeys eat fruit, and Tim Allen goes, oh. I'm sure at some point in the film.
Nope.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
Can I tell you what I like about us?
Sure. There is anything.
One week from today, Our friends Dexter Noodles from that band, The Offspring, right there. Stop by with their brand new song, world premiering new Offspring music called Days. I think it's called Days Go By, and it's going to be 7 days from right now. It's been a long ass time since we had new Offspring music, right?
I agree.
And they are bringing it in 1 week from today. Very excited.
That's what I like about them. I'm not sure I like about that about us.
Well, that's true. That's really more on them than it is on us. So, Kevin, you got a new phone call to make next time you go to Las Vegas. This sounds like it's right up your alley.
Hangover Heaven. This is why did no one think of this before? Every time we've done many topics where we say, what's your hangover cure? Because people always seem to have weird ones, something we've never heard of. You try it and see if it works. And so this is Hangover Heaven, and this is Dr. Jason Burke that we have on the phone. Hi, Dr. Burke.
Good morning.
So Hangover Heaven, is this the first that you know of service that's a service like this?
A service that truly cures hangovers, yes, I believe it is.
You know, Kevin made reference to the fact that from time to time we invite our listeners to call in with their hangover cures, and the guys who always win are the ones who are EMTs or paramedics, and they go, oh, yeah, here's what you do is you got to be hooked up to the bag with the fluid that replenishes you and gets you up and running in no time. We're like, yeah, but that we don't have access to that. You've got that stuff in your truck. We don't. Now it's available to the consumer. Now, so far, Las Vegas only, right?
Correct.
Tell folks who haven't heard about Hangover Heaven, and they can certainly go to your website, hangoverheaven.com, what is the service that you provide?
So we have a 45-foot bus that you give us a ring, or soon you'll be able to contact us through our iPhone app. It'll be out in about another week. We'll confirm your appointment, number, and your party. Then we'll come to your place, pick you up, and you'll get on the bus, do a short medical history, sign a consent form, because this is a real medical practice. And I do want to stress we don't treat intoxicated people. Then we'll place a small IV.
You don't treat intoxicated people. So you're just saying if it's the morning after and you feel miserable, but if you're still drunk, you don't get treated.
Absolutely. That's been the biggest misconception of the business.
Okay, go ahead.
And then we place a small pediatric IV. We use some numbing medicine in the skin. And then for the redemption package, which is our basic package, you get one bag of IV fluid and one medication depending on your worst symptom. Then for the salvation package, you get two medications, the IV vitamins, and two bags of fluid.
That's fantastic. Now, what's something like that cost, Doctor?
The redemption package is $90, and the salvation package is $150.
And how long does it take to work until you start to feel like a human again?
Well, like you can, as people have seen on the Today Show, usually in about 20 minutes, people are feeling better.
20 minutes?
This is fantastic.
Yeah. So it's two bags of IV fluids, anti-nausea medicine, anti-inflammatory medicine, and vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
I love this
That's
so much.
Such a great idea.
How long have you been up and running in Las Vegas?
You know, our first weekend was just this past weekend of the 14th.
No kidding.
Response has been just unbelievable.
It's funny. You're not going to have to go to any other city. You can just stay in Vegas and get as much business as you want.
We'll see. I've had offers for franchises from Australia to Ireland.
No kidding. Yeah.
Now, do you get criticized by other doctors who say, oh, come on, you're just helping people get drunk again or whatever?
Oh, yeah. The scrutiny and I guess disapproval has been pretty intense.
And why do you suppose that is? Because, I mean, isn't that the doctor's job is to make you feel better? I mean, if I came in and I had been playing sports and I, you know, had ripped up my leg or something like that, you would treat the pain and treat the incident based on my behavior. What's the difference?
I agree with you exactly. That's exactly what it is. And I think some of them may be jealous. They didn't think of it. But I'm with you. That's what it is. People are hurting. They want to get back to their vacation. They got a limited time in Las Vegas. They're spending a lot of money on their trip, and they don't want to sit around being miserable. And I'm a physician. I can cure their symptoms, so I'm going to do it.
And I would also ask, you know, from a medical perspective, other doctors, what is the downside of this? You're not doing anything that is doing anything but helping the patient. There's no side effect. There's no bad side effect as a result of what you're doing.
I don't think so, because the dosages of the medications I'm using are very small, and they're about half the normal dose. And I think that I'm actually helping people to have a good time healthier. You'd be amazed the number of people that I've encountered that treat their hangover with Tylenol. They'll come home and take 1,000 of Tylenol, 1,000 milligrams as soon as they get home from the club, and then another 1,000 in the morning.
Right.
And Tylenol and alcohol are a bad, bad combination. Can end up in liver failure.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting to know, because I bet that's something that, like you mentioned, a lot of people do. So right. is there any, not to cut into your business at all, doctor, but is there anything, any kind of advice you could give listeners who aren't in Las Vegas, wake up with that bad hangover that kind of replicates what it is you're doing that would not be intravenous?
Drink a lot of fluid, eat something, some anti-inflammatories and the ibuprofen class help, but okay. Definitely don't take them on an empty stomach. And also the night before, if you can, try and drink water while you're drinking. It's try to stick to clear alcohol like gin and vodka. It produces less of a hangover than things like whiskey.
Okay. That's great advice. Well, look, a lot of our listeners go to Las Vegas a lot of the time, and I know that you'll be meeting them soon, Dr. Jason Burke. The website is hangoverheaven.com, and you'll get all the information there about how you can get on the bus. And also, I guess you've got the new procedure coming soon, maybe this week, where you actually come to the hotel room a few days a week, too, if that's something they want, right?
Correct. Yeah, we're heading out later on today for that exact thing.
And that has a happy ending, right?
Maybe that'll be phase two.
The next time we talk to you, Dr. Burke, you are going to be sitting on $100 million cash. Good luck to you, my friend.
I hope so. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Little Cypress Hill to celebrate 420 coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And let's make sure we have some coffee brewing. Patton Oswalt is on the way, and he says he desperately needs it. We should have had the Hangover Heaven doctor here for him. I don't know what's going on with Patton, but he'll be joining us after the top of the hour as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
I follow everyone on Twitter. I have inside information.
You're a stalker. You're a cyber stalker.
I don't follow that many people, but I love Patton, so I do follow him, and he didn't make reference to it.
Creepy.
So kind of help the man out.
Creepy.
At least he doesn't like raisins. First of all, can we handle the biggest problem
They're
in the room?
Gross.
That's the elephant in the room right now.
What?
We just found off air, just before we came, the mics went live, that Lisa Mae doesn't like raisins.
I was eating trail mix and I picked out
She's
all the raisins.
She's pulling all the raisins out and setting them aside like they're cockroaches.
They look like cockroaches. They look like little bugs. They're just
raisins. It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
First of all, raisins are nature's candy.
Why ruin a perfectly good grape? Why do that?
Because it becomes sweet and succulent and adds raisin flavor to everything that's good. You know, you've never had raisin toast?
I do not like raisin
bran.
Raisin bran?
No. I won't eat anything with raisins in it.
Raisin scones?
Lisa is Al-Qaeda. She is a terrorist leader.
We just discovered a sleeper cell in our own studio.
I can't believe all of you like raisins.
Everyone likes raisins.
That is shocking
to me. It's one of the few foods the world can agree on.
Since when?
Since they danced their little asses off for me in those commercials. That's when I first fell in love. Heard it through the grapevine, those little raisins. They're so cute. Just wanted to eat them. Just wanted to bite their heads off.
Yeah, you can have them. You want them?
Yeah, I'm going to eat your raisins.
All right, eat my raisins.
I'm
going to
come over there and
maybe.
Eat your raisins, baby.
Wait, is this coach?
Yeah.
Maybe. While we're talking about food, this has nothing to do with showbiz, but I thought this was interesting. Starbucks is changing its menu.
Yeah?
They're getting away from the carmine dye.
I don't know what that is.
Carmine dyes the red food coloring they use in their strawberries and cream frappuccinos and other strawberry smoothies.
Oh, they just use a coloring agent so it looks that color?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anything with pink icing or red or anything like that. Turns out that carmine dye was made from crushed beetles.
Yeah!
There was a red beetle. They would crush it up. They'd dry it out and crush it up, and that's what made the dye.
Well, at least it's natural.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's better than chemicals.
It's a beetle,
but
people.
Someone found out about it and started a protest and got a petition that was signed by more than 6,500 Starbucks customers. You know, it did it. The vegetarians, because it's a beetle. It's not a vegetarian. They protest, and Starbucks buckled under the pressure. Now they're changing their dye.
Shame on you, Starbucks.
So
this is pink slime all over again, right? This is, I like it, I eat it, I enjoy it, I have no problem.
Never
with
knew.
It. Oh, until I find out what's in it, now all of a sudden it's evil.
That's right. So you'll be happy to know you'll no longer be eating crushed beetles when you go to Starbucks. Feel better?
Mm. No.
I didn't think so. Ted Nugent met with Secret Service agents yesterday at their request. Apparently they weren't too happy about the Nuge's comments at the National Rifle Association convention earlier this week, where he said if President Obama was reelected, that Ted would be either dead or in jail. Made the Secret Service a little nervous.
That's all he said?
That's all he said.
Hmm.
He said the Obama administration, of course, is vile and evil and America-hating. And
sure.
that we should ride into the battlefield in November and chop the heads off of Democrats. So the Secret Service wanted to have a conversation with him. But according to Ted, it went great. Everybody's happy, and he said smart people realized that he didn't mean anything by what
he said. Yeah, they probably sat him down and said, don't be stupid, and use words like cut off heads.
Stop it, ass.
Yeah.
And then he shot him all with a crossbow. So worked out. Worked out for everybody involved. A lot of support, by the way, for Crispin Glover. I mentioned the end of last hour's Showbiz Beat due to the birthdays. That
song is unbelievable.
We were making fun of David Lynch for his clown song, Crazy Clown Time. And I said, well, before we get too harsh on David Lynch, let's not forget Crispin Glover had a single as well called Clowny Clown Clown, which was the name of the song. Clowny Clown Clown. It was a song even worse than Crazy Clown Time, in my opinion.
Which is difficult to do.
You be the judge.
I was walking on the ground. I didn't make a sound. Then I turned around and I saw a clown. Had a frown. Stood on a mound. Started barking like a hound. When I came to it, I found he showed me something that was brown. So he became great friends, and late in life, got sick.
What's happening?
Bad things.
Clowny clown clown.
I gave him some soup, but he got worse. It asked for its purse. It got it, but it was empty.
All right, just...
So it cried a plenty.
Just cried a plenty. Stop it.
Oh, no.
You can't just... Oh, let me just think of anything that rhymes. It's not a song.
Bad rhyme time.
The video is up at the top of krock.com or kevinamine.com if you want to check that out as well.
Crispin Glover's Clowny Clown Clown.
It's
what's up with Crispin Glover?
He's crazy.
It's our new segment, What's Up with Crispin Glover. He celebrates his 48th birthday today, so happy birthday, Crispin. Clint Howard is 53 years old. Jessica Lange turns 63. George Takei of Star Trek fame is 75. Carmen Electra is 40. Andy Serkis from Lord of the Rings and Planet of the Apes is 48. Joey Lawrence.
Whoa.
Is 36 years old, and model Miranda Kerr celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Happy 420. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I hate Lisa May and her non-raisin eating ways. Thank you, Omar, who writes in on this. And Patton Oswalt has just joined us in the Kevin and Bean studios, and he apparently is an authority on prison wine. Now, what's the theoretical question for Lisa now, Pat?
My theoretical question is, if you're in prison, because you say you like wine, I like wine too, but now I'm in prison. There's no wine, but my roommate, Blade... cellmate. I'll call him roommate. I'll call him colleague. I'll call my other cellmates colleagues.
I'd call him your boyfriend, but go ahead.
Okay, he's making Raisin Jack in the toilet.
What is Raisin Jack?
That sounds nasty.
It's a prison wine. Oh. It's raisins, and I guess they get some yeast or sugar, and they ferment it in a bag, and they kind of suspend the bag in the toilet.
How do you know this?
I read this whole article in the New Yorker about different prison wines. There's Pruno, there's Raisin Jack. And how it's all made. It's like America's prisons are this post-apocalyptic vineyard where they have like different. And there are apparently some guys that are really good at it. And their Raisin Jack is prized.
Sure.
It's like reconstituting the grape. So perhaps I would. Like, I can't eat prunes either. They're just disgusting.
Well, prunes aren't raisins.
Yeah.
But they're similar. They're all dried up and wrinkly.
It's a giant. Well, wait a minute. Is a plum a giant grape?
I don't think so.
Because we're getting into...
A plum is a prune dried.
A prune is a plum dried,
isn't it?
I'm very confused right now.
If we're saying in terms of like, okay, what's dried? So you dry a little grape and it's a raisin.
Right.
Take a giant plum, dry it down. Are there other things they dry up and then people eat them?
Well, yeah. They dry up apples and cranberries.
What am I thinking? Yeah, they dry up. Do you like any dried fruit?
I like banana chips.
Hey, Pat.
Okay, banana chips are horrible.
they're bad. They're terrible.
You are like the one chip. Awful.
He's right.
The one that doesn't
terrible.
Work, she likes.
But, Pat, I want to ask you a question. Are you aware that we're already on the air?
Oh, my God. What? Wait a minute.
You don't think this
Wait
is
a minute. I honestly
stimulating
didn't
conversation?
Know that. I'm not kidding. I honestly didn't know that.
You're
I thought
kidding.
You would... Oh.
I hope.
Oh, my God.
Patton Oswalt is here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give him a big welcome because it's been a while since we've seen our man.
You dirty animals.
We had your friend Paul F. Tompkins in yesterday, and he wants to know why when he's doing press for his show, he also promotes yours, but when you're doing press for your show, you don't promote his. That's his question he asked that we ask you.
Wow. Well, I would counter with, God, this is like a whole other raisin argument. I tweeted about his special 2 days ago that is on after mine this Saturday. Mine's on at 10 and his on, oh my God, I just promoted his.
So you've literally done the least you can do to promote his special,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly. Also, on the, when I was, I will say in my defense, when I was on, I did Conan on Tuesday. He did it on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
On my segment, I wasn't as confident in my material. It was all new stuff that I've been working on, and I didn't know if it was going to work. So I was a little panicky, and I was going to mention his special, and I just got that kind of dry mouth nervousness, and I just was
just forgot.
I totally forgot. I forgot to promote my own special.
But how do you get dry mouth and nervous when you're freaking Patton Oswalt? I don't understand that.
Because it was all new stuff that I'd never done. Like I had barely had time. I've been so busy lately. I haven't had time to get into the clubs as much as I'd like to.
Yeah. Right.
So there's a lot of that stuff of, hey, this was really funny in my head at 2 a.m. when I was awake last night, like thinking it through.
This is how most comedians do their specials. This, when they have a one-hour special coming up, they don't plan anything. And they just it's like guinea pig time. They just throw stuff out for the first time to see if it works.
Yeah, exactly. We rent all the equipment. We rent out the hall. We get like, you know, 1,000 people in there. And then I just cross my fingers.
Just hope.
I just hope it works. I mean, like any concert film, you go watch The Song Remains the Same. They're playing those songs for the first time. Yeah, Zeppelin was like, let's just go out there and noodle around and see what happens, man.
Sure.
We've got a sports arena filled. They're patient. They
That's
got
true.
5 hours. Let's see what happens.
I watched you on Conan. I try to catch your appearances. And the beautiful thing about you, Patton, is I don't know how much of it is a joke and how much of it is just the demons in your head. Because when you were talking about how suicidal you felt in front of that frozen food aisle in the grocery store the other night, because Toto's Africa was over the sound system at the same time, and you felt like that was the best time to just say goodbye to this cruel world.
Yeah.
I thought, that doesn't sound like a bit. I think Patton actually has those thoughts when he's out.
Well, not only do I have those thoughts, that exact thing happened. It was like, I'm not exaggerating when I tell
Explain
that story.
Explain it again, because Bean went right through it and I missed it.
Okay, listen to this.
Because there's no way what Bean said is that you thought about committing suicide over.
Oh, I didn't even think about committing suicide. I was
looking for a knife?
I was sure that I could do it. It's one of the few times in my life that I've been that peaceful. I was standing in front of the frozen food aisle in front of the cabinet that has all the lean cuisines in it.
Right.
So think of how they look. It's like the white box with the kind of pale colors on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit frosted up, the glass. And then on the sound system, and by the way, it's Tuesday, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So just think of the way the supermarket is then. It's almost empty.
Okay.
There's no one in there. I'm standing there staring at different lean cuisines. I don't know why I'm even looking at them. And then the opening bars of Toto's Africa starts.
Okay.
And I don't know why I instantly fell right into depression. Like, I could have immediately killed myself right there.
Over what?
Over the fact that I'm standing in front of all these lean cuisines. And Toto's Africa is playing, and I'm the only one in this aisle. It was just like, it felt like somebody had scripted a scene. Like, how do we show complete despair? Okay, let's have a guy looking at lean cuisines, and then Toto's Africa starts playing.
This is the rock bottom moment?
It didn't feel like rock bottom depression. It felt like the universe was going, hey, you can just leave. Just leave, man. Just we're literally playing
off.
You out.
We're done with you.
We're playing you out. I almost felt like I could open the door of the freezer and the wall of lean cuisines would be a false front and it would open up and I would just walk into Narnia. Like, it was just so sad. Like, just get, you know, like, right. We're done with you.
One qualifying question.
All right.
Hi?
No.
Liar.
Totally.
Liar. You are a liar, sir.
No, in fact, I don't really smoke the weed as much anymore.
Well, I can see why.
Yeah.
To be honest, you don't need it.
Yeah.
But, and that's the thing about today. I'm like actually kind of nervous that I love my stoner friends, but 420, they become the most, stoners on 420 are like drunks on St. Patrick's Day. They're just the most annoying. Come on, man. I get it. Yeah, I know. 420. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Got it.
Spunked it. Done it.
Yeah, good.
All right. Well, I'm glad you survived the ugly moment in the grocery store.
I survived the Lean Cuisines and the Toto's Africa.
I've heard a lot of near suicide stories. I've never heard one that's that.
Do not mix. They should take Toto's Africa off of the ambient music.
First of all, everything.
Well, yeah, that would also help. Yeah.
It was too peaceful a moment. You were too close to just slipping away. That was the problem. It's one thing to be relaxed. It's another thing to just say goodbye.
You're standing there and you're looking at all the Lean Cuisines. Don't you literally feel like you could literally step off the planet right now?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
This is horrible. What am I doing? This is pointless.
All right, we need to take a break. Patton Oswalt has
We all need to take a break.
Comedy Central, 10 o'clock on Saturday night. You can see Patton Oswalt's comedy special.
Whoever he is.
And we'll be right back.
Patton Oswalt in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. His Finest Hour comedy special, his latest on the TV, is going to be on Comedy Central tomorrow night at 10. And then, of course, you can own an expanded version of that on, is that Tuesday or something that comes out? You can buy the whole deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the DVD comes out. And if you watch my special this Saturday at 10, just stay where you are, because at 11 o'clock, Paul F. Tompkins, Laboring Under Delusions.
Yes, it's a good
show,
one too.
And
much.
It's so good.
So
it's
you're like,
so,
you're,
I, he you're doesn't like, know that I've already seen it. I bugged Comedy Central to let me watch it before
to make sure it
aired.
Wasn't better than yours.
No, I have no problem saying it is way better than mine.
Okay.
In the terms that he has evolved to this point where he can it is all like storytelling, but he's in a weird way. As he's gotten away from jokes, there's 10 times more jokes in the act because the stories are just crammed
right.
with nothing but punchlines. It's amazing.
I'll tell you what's
amazing.
It's amazing to me, those of you that do comedy, because I hear you bring up a topic. And then what I do is I immediately think, okay, is there any way I could make this funny? And the answer is always no.
Yeah. Mm.
And then I watch and you go, wow, and I just am so interested in the craft and how well you do that.
I think it just
it's
comes.
Great.
I think it comes from doing it a lot. You do it so much that you then. Because I go through every. If I come up with a premise, I go in my head. I go through 8 or 9 of the most obvious jokes. I mean, everyone does.
I don't. I look for one.
You look for the very first one.
And hang on to it.
One's not coming. Mel Gibson's crazy. but it's like it's just like a muscle. I guess it took me years to learn this. Of just what is the 17th idea that no one's thinking of,
right.
And then I'll try to develop that.
Speaking of new shows. And I don't know, how do you have the in on this, by the way? Just showbiz friends send you stuff? Is that because you're always seeing things ahead of everybody else, and I'm always wondering how that
yeah,
works.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is because I'm just a fan of things, and mm-hmm. I know who to call. I just know who's over at Comedy Central. Can I watch that, please? So
I am super excited about this Veep show, this Julia Louis-Dreyfus show, and that's one that you tweeted that you have already seen 3 episodes of? Tell me it's awesome.
Well, it's beyond awesome. My God in heaven, this show. Okay, it's the new show by that guy, Iannucci, who did In the Loop. He's a British guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the vice president, and I got the first 3 episodes, and we watched them. We've watched them. My wife and I have watched them twice because there are so many jokes
really?
Crammed into it, and it is the most profane. I mean, it's beyond filthy, but it's not offensive because it's people. It's the way that you talk when no one is around, and then
right.
you just lose your – I can't say the word, but mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah. it really says something about Julie Louis-Dreyfus that she is surrounded by these scene stealers. It's Matt Walsh and Tony Hale and Anna Chlumsky.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, there's this other guy. I can't remember.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Well,
you would recognize all of them, Kevin.
Yeah.
You know them.
And she is surrounded by scene stealers and is just effortlessly keeps
right
the focus. Hmm. She is so funny.
I had no interest in that.
Oh,
now you
what?
Do.
Now
right?
I do. Now
it
I do.
Is, oh, and the, now you do, yeah.
I don't want to – I hate when people go, it's the new bear, but I'm just trying to give you a reference point.
I'd like a new
bear. It is an even more cranked up Larry Sanders.
Really?
Of just people. It is a group of a-holes.
Love it.
Working together. And there's a guy, and I'm blanking on his name. His name is – the character's name is Jonah. and he's this actor, and I'm blanking on his name. I was just tweeting with him the other night because he thanked me for tweeting about it.
I'll look it up for you. Tell us about it.
It's the show's called Veep, and this guy Jonah is basically an even imagine. Remember the Hank Kingsley character?
Oh yeah,
sure.
Imagine an even worse version of him. This guy
Timothy
is,
Simons. I'm being told
Timothy Simons yeah. is oh my. Him and Matt Walsh going at it. They play the he Matt Walsh is the like the assistant to the vice president, and Tim Simons. Plays Jonah, who's the assistant to the president. So, of course, he constantly lords that over everybody.
Sure.
That, oh, I'm coming from the president's office. And he's just the – he is he has to be one of the nicest guys in the world because if he was anything like his character, he would have been beaten to death by a mom. He is so vile.
When does this come on for the rest of us?
It comes on this Sunday, the 22nd. Yeah. And
it's
now
a fascinating
I'm bummed
premise.
Because I've – yeah, it's the vice president trying to be important – trying to matter.
Imagine what that must be like to be the vice president. Basically, yeah. Your job is to stay alive so that if the president dies, you're in. I mean, that's all
and
you do.
And they don't give you a lot more.
Stay alive.
They don't give you much to do.
It's not
right.
that they don't give you a lot to do. They give you nothing. She has to make up her job. She has to invent things to make her important. And yeah. It's just – there's a joke – there's a reception line in episode 3. She goes to this reception line, and Tony Hale is always hovering and feeding her – you know, information. And there's a joke involving Rage Against the Machine. And it doesn't even have dialogue. It's just how Julia Louis-Dreyfus reacts. It is, we rewound that scene like 5 times. It's one of the funniest things.
Wow.
And not only is it funny, it is so uncomfortable.
Love
in a
it.
Great
like
way.
That
like
thing.
You're literally just squirming, going, oh God, this is just going to get
can't
worse.
Wait.
And
I love
worse.
It.
Well, this is our new segment. Patton promotes other people's TV shows.
I know.
That's called Veep this Sunday night. And I think that Julie Louis-Dreyfus is hot, too, by the way. I don't know if you guys are with me.
She's very attractive.
She's very sexy.
Oh, she's ridiculously hot.
She's
in the
not
show.
Ridiculous.
Oh, in
she
the show? Is.
Oh,
she's
the,
so,
I mean,
so hot.
And she's that's the one thing that's
funny.
A little. The one thing that almost doesn't work, but again, she is so good and the writing is so good, is that. She's playing someone that is a little bit hapless, and I just can't imagine her being hapless.
Yeah.
Well. Like, you have a little – because she is very – here's why you can't imagine her being hapless, because she's so amazing in the show and so amazing playing off of all these different actors
right.
that they have.
Veep is on 10 o'clock on Comedy Central Saturday night.
No, HBO.
Nope, that's Patton's
oh,
special.
Oh, that's Patton's
special. Special. Finest Hour, right.
Finest Hour is on Saturday at 10, and then Paul Tompkins – Labor and Delusion, and then just sit there.
Just
sit there for until the next evening.
Until Veep comes
yeah,
on?
Yeah, and then switch to HBO,
okay.
which I think is on – I think it's on at 10? I don't know what time
so.
It's on.
I think so, yeah.
It is the – I'm telling you, I cannot stress to you how offensive
so excited.
And hilarious this show is.
Sweet.
Awesome. All right, more with Patton Oswalt right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Hey!
Hey!
Come on, people. Let's get it together.
Sorry.
741. It's 106.
That was so awkward.
106. K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q.
That's the voice of Patton Oswalt in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ziggy Marley joins us in about 20 minutes here on the show. And Patton, I don't know if you watch Fringe or not, but John Noble is going to be on with us next hour.
What?
Did you watch Fringe?
Walter Bishop.
I just started watching season one. I have all the seasons, and I'm really getting into it. John Noble's amazing.
He's amazing.
He's coming in?
No, we're going to talk to him in an hour.
He's in Colorado.
Oh,
he's
so good on that show.
He is. Wait. Just wait.
You got a lot of episodes.
I'm only season one.
Here's where Fringe succeeds, and then we'll move on and talk about something else. You remember Lost
yeah.
and how it was always the question of what happens.
Leading, and then
Fringe has already told you what happened, and now they're living in that world for a long time. And most of the time, by the time you tell people, you know what's really happening, they're gone and
yeah,
you're out of story and whatever.
Or you tease it too long so that when you get to the revelation, they go, meh.
Yeah. But this has to take that step, and they do, and then they continue on. It's really good.
Guys, I would stay, but you know, after the segment, I'm leaving because at 10 a.m. I'm going to a screening of The Avengers.
Oh,
check you out.
Yeah, just going to see The Avengers at 10 a.m.
Too bad Ralph already saw it last weekend, so he'll be able to tell you all about it before you leave.
Patton Oswalt is one of the funniest stand-ups we've ever seen, and one of the biggest geeks we've ever known.
He's full-time.
He
full-time
is
geek.
Nerd.
Yeah.
He's the nerd
Finest
king.
Finest Hour airs on Comedy Central tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Check it out. Patton, you were telling us that you have, you're at that age now, you're starting to tell us this is where you now have to start paying attention to what you're doing with your body.
Yeah, and so here's what I'm paying attention to now that I'm 43.
Wow, you're bad for 43.
I know, you're only 43? I do. I look like I'm 51.
You don't look a day over 51.
I am not taking good care of myself. So my barometer now is I have this one friend who absolutely does not take care of himself at all.
And these are both about your age?
Yeah, they're both literally my same age.
Okay.
And his body is completely falling apart. And then I do the bare minimum, you know, just the bare minimum before stuff starts falling. And then I have this other friend my age who takes excellent care of himself.
Right.
And is in great shape and, you know, really turned his life around and just looks great. And I'm secretly hoping that the really healthy friend has a heart attack and dies. not even out of jealousy. I just need a barometer so I can show people, well, look, that guy took excellent care of himself and he died. So what's the point?
That way you can justify the way you're living.
Yes. I'm like, I'd rather, and then I'm going to do that. I'll do that BS thing of like, I just want to be here for my daughter. And even if I'm morbidly obese and, you know, in a rascal scooter, I just want to see her graduate college. You know, I don't want to be on a train. And also it's like, if the heart attack is coming, I'd rather be sitting in a booth at Long John Silver's, dignified, with jeans on.
That's dignified?
You know, well, as opposed to on a treadmill in shorts, so when my heart stops and I defecate all over myself. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, at least in the Long John Silver's, the stench of Long John Silver's will cover up the defecation.
Okay. All right.
There's some dignity in that. Think about that.
You've thought that through. I think
just
that's
face first into the fried shrimp. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking, God.
That's not too much.
It's really not that
I
much.
I really think that's not too much. To
you know, it is a balance, though, that everybody has to come to in their life where they decide, how much am I going to deprive myself of?
Yes.
And what's the enjoyment value of my life if that's the way I'm going to – if I'm going to deprive myself of everything good and live an extra 6 months, is it worth it?
Exactly. No, you really – it is that you start doing math when you're in your 40s. You start doing really serious life math of, okay, well, I want to keep – like, how much do I want to keep drinking? Like, how much do I enjoy alcohol?
Yes. Yes.
How much do I
wish I would have asked that question before this past weekend at Coachella.
Wait a minute. You got drunk at Coachella?
Oh, man.
Out in that heat?
You should see the photo galleries that they took
dude.
A picture of me passed out, and then they put it up online, and listeners sent in photo galleries. We have two photo galleries of 30 pictures each of me passed out in all these different situations.
So they were all it was like the Zapruder film. They had every angle of you.
Yes.
Analyzing. What were you drinking out in that desert?
Vodka Red Bull. It wasn't a hot weekend. This weekend's going to be hot. But last weekend it was 75, 80, and then it was cold at night. It was like 50.
Because when I was
there, drinking to stay warm. That's all.
I was there a few years ago. It was so hot I couldn't even imagine.
That's this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so I wish I would have asked that question before last weekend, but
I should. Oh, here come. Oh, they're putting up the photos right now.
There's me with Tupac.
There you go.
And the car that he got shot in. Yeah, it's crazy. The listeners are 100 times funnier than we are. It's me in the operation game. Go to krock.com, kevinandbean.com.
Being carried by Ewoks.
Being carried by Ewoks, yeah.
Oh, man. Yes, of course.
Me with Hasselhoff and
oh,
Kit.
Oh, wow. No offense, dude. You sleep ugly.
I really do.
Wow, you real man.
I really do.
You go for
it.
I
don't know whose ass I'm looking at there, but anyway, there's like 60 pictures on there. And they came in. They came in like 2 days, and I was just thinking,
of course they
don't
did.
You people that listen to the show have anything to do?
Well, that's when you guys played the Mel Gibson tape yesterday, I
saw
I heard
your
that,
tweet. That was one of the funniest things ever.
Yeah, there is a mad, 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 mad world race to get that thing recut and repurposed into something funny.
It's too bad. It's too bad quality, though. You can barely hear it.
Yeah, I know. They got to figure out how
Next time, get a better recording.
Yeah. Yeah, get a better iPod, that kid.
Patton, have you ever been so angry at anything that you've screamed at that volume for that long?
I've been close to that, but never. I mean, I could never sustain that. I've like barked at, you know, like something that went, like my manager messed something up, and then I would yell on the phone. But like then I immediately because I as I'm doing it, I realize, oh God, this is terrible.
Right, I'm losing it.
I'm losing it, and also I just there's your voice immediately get like on that level of yelling. There's just, like, how do you sustain that?
I feel like I got 30 seconds of that, and then I need a nap.
he's got, I mean, maybe that's what makes him, I mean, the thing that's still amazing about Mel Gibson is, as crazy as he is, it's almost like he's crazy with the money to do the things he wants to do,
right,
film-wise. Right. So he does make these amazing movies. I mean, whether or not you're, I mean, The Last Temptation of Christ is like the greatest snuff film ever made. And then Apocalypto is this gorgeous, brilliant, I mean, that, yeah. Apocalypto was amazing. And sometimes it takes crazy people to do great art.
Agreed.
You know, and he's...
But I don't want to be around him.
No, none of us have to be around him.
Okay.
You know, it's like,
right.
I almost say, like, just let him be as crazy as he wants, but let him put out a movie every year because all his movies are great.
All right, we have to take a break right now.
Smile and me, because I deserve it.
He does deserve it.
That would be a great name for a game show, by the way.
It sure would.
And then you hear the whole thing, smile and
me. Airs on Comedy Central tomorrow night at 10. Hey, listen, I know you've got the Avengers, but do you want to stick around for one more? Because Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next.
Yeah, I want to do one Showbiz Beat, please.
Okay.
Circle K Premium all-beef hot dogs are now 20% bigger than the competition. So the next time somebody calls you a big mouth, simply thank them. Take a big old bite. Circle K Premium all-beef hot dogs. So much beef. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. World famous K-Rock at 7:54.
It's almost too much beef.
That's what I've heard.
I can barely open my mouth wide enough to take all that beef in.
I'm going to need
Pat
that.
Pat Oswalt and Ralph Garman reunited again with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks again, Patton, for doing the Hollywood Babylon show with
that
the
was
Up at Universal.
So ridiculously fun. We'll do that again. Everyone I have was, to do that again.
Everyone was thrilled to have you up there, and listeners loved it.
Get to go out on a Saturday night and just rail about showbiz in front of a bunch of drunks.
It is kind of fun.
It really felt great.
Sad news today. Lee Von Helm has passed away. Found out
Such
the end of yesterday. Drummer and singer for the band died after his long battle with throat cancer. He was 71 years old.
I don't care.
Oh, come on, Mel.
Mel.
Kevin, one of the few drummers who sang lead for his band. I guess him, Don Henley. Who else?
Guy from the Romantics.
Mickey Dolenz, I guess.
Phil Collins.
I don't care.
Yeah. Ringo, of course. Ringo hits.
Wasn't he the... Oh, Dave Clark was their drummer.
Oh, the Dave Clark Five.
Yeah. You guys know we're on the air.
Here we go.
Oh,
yes,
sorry.
And people are fascinated.
Wow.
This and our recipe for Raisin Jack coming up next, so stick around. Robert De Niro has said he is ready for Midnight Run 2.
Oh. No!
Really? Yeah.
Why so soon?
He is committed. They are writing the script as we speak.
That's a perfect film.
Robert De Niro. Now, wait a minute, Pat. You haven't even given the premise a chance yet.
What's the premise?
In this film, De Niro's character is helping the son of Charles Grodin's character.
No!
Who's got himself into some trouble.
No!
So he's got to ask Robert De Niro's character, Jack Walsh, to help him out.
It is that...
See, it's like Midnight Run, only there's a younger guy.
Midnight Run is honestly one of the most flawless. That movie is so perfect.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone!
It sort of invented that mismatch buddy comedy, too. Really.
Well, no, it didn't invent it, but it perfected. It took something that we, at that point, we'd seen a lot of, and we're like, okay, I've seen this before, and then they did it even better. They did scenes that were where Robert De Niro doesn't let Charles Grodin speak. He just goes, just stop talking. And that's funny.
Right.
Like, normally it has to work on the banter, and they made it work of De Niro just he just yells at Charles Grodin. Just shut up.
We didn't really
up.
Know De Niro could be funny until that
God,
movie.
He was so funny.
That's when everyone
that.
Discovered him. And
he
then,
was...
And he went on to analyze this and analyze that.
Do not start with me, Eddie, or I will shoot him and dump him in an effing swamp. And then he comes over and just goes, no.
Why aren't you popular in Chicago? Why aren't you popular
why,
in Chicago?
Why are you not popular in the Chicago Police Department? It's nice. I love the... Okay, here's a great scene in that movie. When they're starving, they haven't eaten in a couple days, and they're at that counter, and he's going to get... Remember, De Niro's going to get the money in like an hour. So the waitress is like, would you guys like coffee or tea? And then and they each have 53 cents. So he gets tea, and then she goes, and our special is a chorizo and eggs. And then Grodin's like, what is that? She goes, it's a Mexican sausage, and it's grilled, and we slice it and mix it in with scrambled eggs, and it comes with hash browns or toast. And you can see he just wants that so badly. And then she leaves, and then Jerry goes, look, in an hour, I'm going to have $500. I'll get you a nice steak. And then Grodin just goes, chorizo and eggs. Like, that is now burned into his head. You're going to get me chorizo and eggs. I don't even know what it is, but you're going to get it. Like, oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to love Midnight Run, too, then.
No, I will not.
Still running.
De Niro also said that he would be up for reprising his role as Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull.
What is happening?
And they're going to redo The Godfather.
If they can work the script out right. So, apparently.
Hey, you know what? Here's one thing. Do this. Do a Peter Sellers thing. Do Jack Walsh from Midnight Run. Travis Bickle's in trouble. He goes crazy. Goes on the run. Jack Walsh has to go help him. And then they run into Jake LaMotta. Do it. Peter, play all three roles.
And then they stop by the Fockers.
There you go.
Thanksgiving dinner.
Boom.
Hit. Justin Bieber wants everyone to know he's looking for a new neighborhood. He wants to move. He's looking for a new house.
Why does he want everyone to know that? What difference does it make to me?
Because he says he could be your new neighbor.
I don't want him to be my new
neighbor.
He
wants recommendations where he should live.
Ugh.
But he's America's princeling, and shouldn't we all know where he lives?
I think we should. And then go with some smart bombs.
What was the consistency of his bowel movement this morning? Did they hang a flag from the castle keep?
He doesn't seem to do much privately, does he?
No.
He's got a new smart car, you know. You've seen his new smart car.
Yeah.
That he had to augment in the back. Now it reads swag car. It's a swag car. He's going to play Charles Grodin's son in Midnight Run 2. Whoa. So I hope you all enjoy
now that. Okay, De Niro yelling at him and hitting him with a rubber hose, that I would go watch.
You'd be like, what was that movie where De Niro was on a boat? Fear? No.
Cape Fear.
Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Oh.
Came after Nick Nolte.
Yeah. Have Max Cady and Justin Bieber in a movie. There you go. Yeah. Bieber.
And Ted Nugent.
Bieber.
Putting his thumb in Bieber's mouth. Yeah. The best. Ted Nugent met with the Secret Service yesterday to talk to them about his comments that if Barack Obama was reelected, that Ted said he would be either dead or in jail. And, of course, he also called for conservatives to chop the heads off of Democrats in November.
Why are people getting so angry about this? The only thing that's going to save us from Obama is a draft-dodging statutory rapist.
That's right.
That is the only one. A child-abandoning, draft-dodging statutory rapist like Ted Nugent is the only one that can save us from the evil of happily married, Harvard-educated, calm, intelligent Obama.
Just because a guy crapped his pants to avoid the draft doesn't mean he was trying to get out of it.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. That he purposely soiled himself.
And he's just got Crohn's.
He's like Rambo. He's an American hero.
Today's celebrity birthdays: George Takei, of course, the legendary Mr. Sulu from Star Trek.
Oh my!
He's 45 years old today.
Oh my!
Jessica Lange. Are you watching the American Horror Story over there on Netflix?
No, I never got into it. I never watched it.
She's pretty brilliant.
Is it good?
She's good. Okay. I'm not a huge fan of the show, but she's brilliant.
I'm a huge Connie Britton fan.
Yeah, she's great too.
Yeah.
Clint Howard is 53 years old today.
Yeah.
Don Mattingly, Dodgers manager, is 51. Crispin Glover, we were talking about him earlier with the song Clowny Clown Clown.
I love his cover of These Boots Are Made for Walking. That one's amazing.
Do we have a little taste of that?
See if you can find that.
I think we do.
I don't remember that. Keep saying you got something for me. Yeah,
this is real.
Yeah. Real.
Something you call love, I confess. You've been a mess where you should have been a mess. And now someone else is getting all your best.
The hell?
These boots make you walk. And that's just what you do.
That is not real.
It's karaoke night in the ward.
It is real.
By the way, although his film, What Is It, is pretty brilliant. He made a movie called What Is It, and he does screenings every now and then at like the Egyptian.
Yeah, this is the one with the like 30 mentally challenged adults as his stars.
It's brilliant.
Right?
It's brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. I really loved it.
You're a dark, dark man.
I'm very damaged. Sorry.
Crispin Glover's 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Weekend number two of Coachella starts today. Don't forget the K-Rock Coachella house is going to be up and running. We're sending a bunch of listeners out there to watch live performances. You can see them too through K-Rock.com, and there'll be a lot of special guests stopping by broadcasting live all weekend long. That K-Rock Coachella house was going off last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And it's unbelievable how many people they got to stop by, too. Great, great guest list. Lots of great live performances. So definitely check it out at krock.com. It is our 420 show. It's been a couple of years, I think, since we talked to our next guest, Ziggy Marley, who joins us back on the phone. Hey, Ziggy, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Yeah, man. Nice to be back. What's happening?
I think the last time we talked to you, refresh my memory, did you have a comic book? Weren't you promoting some sort of a comic book that came out on 420?
Yeah, it was Marijuana Man. You remember that?
Marijuana Man. That's right.
So funny.
And today you're back with something that I think is going to be of interest to everybody. Finally, the definitive documentary, the best, most complete version of the story of your father, Bob Marley's life, is being told in a new film that is out, available everywhere today, video on demand through iTunes, through Facebook. Tell me about the movie.
Yeah, the movie is called Marley, directed by Kevin MacDonald. And it's just for us, it's like sharing the emotional connection we have with our father, sharing that with the world. So the world can also feel a certain emotional connection, not just the knowing Bob as the icon or the idol, but having an actual human emotional connection to the story of his life.
Do you think there's a lot of misconceptions about your dad?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions probably that a lot of people think they know Bob, because he's a part of so many people's lives, but you don't, until you see this documentary, you don't know Bob. So I think that's a misconception that a lot of people have, is they think they know Bob so much, but this will set everything straight.
Right. I think oftentimes we know people as celebrities because we are familiar with their music, for instance, in Dad's case, but we don't know them as people at all. And this is like all access, complete cooperation of the family. Everybody that knows Bob is interviewed, and you have an awful lot of photos and footage throughout Bob's life, right?
Yeah, and we came upon some footage that I've never seen before. Nobody had seen before. This guy had taking some footage of Bob in concert in Boston in sometime in the 70s, and it just came out while we're doing this film that this guy had it, and it was so great to get that stuff. So there's some unseen stuff, and there's just a lot of photos and things that people like, but the biggest thing they will take back is that emotional connection.
Isn't it shocking to find video that you didn't know existed from 35 to 40 years ago?
I'm telling you, it's like, with the internet thing, I'm wondering, like, if sometimes I wonder where people get this stuff from.
Yep.
Right.
It's like, whoa.
Ziggy, you were what, about 12 years old or so when your dad died of cancer?
Yeah, 12.
And because he was so busy and traveling the world and working so hard, did you get the opportunity to spend very much time with him?
Yeah, Phil, I did. I mean, we spent a lot of time with him. You know, we did some of that traveling too with him and spent a lot of time with him at home in Kingston. I feel like, we had a good time with him.
Was it difficult for you to get enough time with your dad when there were so many other kids?
No, you see, I'm the eldest son. I'm his first son.
Ah, so you win, and the other 12, how many do you have, 13 siblings?
11,
okay. So you win, and the rest of them got ripped off.
You know how it is with the first son. You know how fathers are. You know, they take care of the first son.
Sure.
Exactly, yeah. Right. We're talking to Ziggy Marley here on the Kevin Bean Show about the movie called Marley, directed by the Oscar-winning director Kevin MacDonald, by the way, who did that One Day in September, I think, and he also did The Last King of Scotland. I mean, the guy is a phenomenal filmmaker.
Yeah.
Do they talk much about your father's songwriting? Because, I mean, for as short as his career was, it's unbelievable how many classic songs that will live forever he wrote. Do they get into where his inspiration came from?
Yeah, it shows. It shows, and there's one specific song, which is a song about the stone that the builder refused, that in the film, it shows the way he wrote that song. It was, he went, so Bob's father was white, his mother was black, so he went to the white side of the family for some help in the early days, and they turned him down. So he wrote this song about the stone that the builder refused would be the head cornerstone, because that side of the family was also in construction. So it does show a lot about where his inspiration comes from for his songwriting.
I have a clip from the movie that I like to play. It's it involves him, his songwriting, how he did it.
He just didn't play for the fun of it, it was part of the process, Because before he writes a song, you burn a spliff. Then you go run so you can lively up yourself, and then you get more inspired so the lyrics can come out.
I tell you the truth, we like play everywhere. Anywhere it is possible,
Does the movie have subtitles?
You know, I think there is some, a little bit, but not a lot. You're going to have to pick up on your Jamaican.
Ziggy, I'm going to ask you a difficult question maybe for you to answer, and that is, why is your father still, in 2012, more than 30 years after his death, the biggest reggae star in the world? Why do you suppose somebody else has not come along to advance that genre of music as much as he did?
No, it's impossible to do that. You know, Bob would always be, you know, he's the forerunner. He's the one who was out there first. And once you're first, you know, you're always going to be first. It's hard to replace that. And we shouldn't try, and we shouldn't hope for that either. It's just, you know, we just have to respect Bob for what he has done and just love him for being out there and being always being first.
Well, there couldn't be a better movie to watch tonight on 420 or any time if you want to see a fascinating documentary on one of the greatest artists of all time. The movie, again, is called Marley. You can see it through Facebook. You can see it through iTunes, video on demand. And it's been great to talk to you again, Ziggy Marley. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me again, brothers. Thank you.
Actor John Noble joins us from the TV show Fringe, coming up here in just a couple minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how many cars does Justin Bieber need? I know he's got a couple of Ducati motorcycles. Didn't we do a story about him with some sort of $100,000 plus electric car that he got recently?
Yes.
And now what's he driving around in?
Now he's got a smart car, but on the back where it says smart car, he changed the word smart to swag.
Swag, 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 swag.
He's such an ass.
Oh, my God.
I despise him.
It's a swag car.
Come on.
Well, we wanted to find out about this, plus deal with the rumors that he and Selena are about to become engaged. We asked producer Dave, could you line up Justin Bieber for us? And sure enough, that music means Justin Bieber. Thank you. Justin Bieber is on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Justin.
What music, eh?
Hi, that's what I was asking myself.
Oh, this music. That's my song,
that's
eh?
That's your song, yeah.
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 How you doing, buddy?
I'm cool, yo.
Really?
What's up with you all, yuz? You? Yeah?
Swag car?
Swag.
Right, but swag car?
That's my swag car, yo.
Right, but...
What's with all the questions, bro?
Well, what are you talking about? It's the first one. Swag car, though. Swag car.
Yeah, that's what I'm all about.
What a douchebag.
But if you're driving a smart car, just drive a smart car. You don't have to try to turn it into something it's not. It's not a swag car.
Swag, yo.
No, a smart car. A smart car is the opposite of a swag car. It's the anti-swag car.
No, it's so not swag that it becomes the swaggiest, yo.
What makes it swag?
All the swag that it's got.
Justin, you do so many things that make people... hate you. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
You're talking about my music again, eh?
No, you're wearing these pictures.
No, we're not
of you
talking about your music at all.
Oh. In the swag, the pictures of you getting in and out of the swag car. You're wearing the ridiculous sneakers and the ridiculous hat, the ridiculous pants around your knees. Grow up.
Grow up. I'm 18, yo.
What are you talking about? Just act white is what I want to say.
I can't. I'm so black, yo.
You're not,
I got
though.
It inside me, yo.
You're not a rapper.
Here's the thing about growing up in the mean streets of Canada, yo.
There are no mean streets in Canada.
When I was out there slanging maple syrup for a living, running with my homeboys, the Mounties,
you didn't
the
have
name of our gang.
They're not homeboys.
We'd go out there, eh, and we would have to, like, get in... snowball fights with other gangs and take them out.
Wow,
you don't know what it's like till you got a .22 snowball to the back of the head, eh?
There's no such thing. That's not a thing, Justin.
Bam! I've made it to the top and I got my swag car because I'm the best.
Yeah. Okay, you're not the best.
I'm and the best.
And it's not a swag car.
I'm the best at driving smart cars that are swag cars.
There's no one else that's douchey enough to change that.
I'm the best.
Justin, is it true that you're engaged? That's all the hot rumor, you're engaged.
A lot of people are saying that me and Selena are engaged, yo. But I'm here to tell you that it's just not true.
Okay.
It's not true. Okay.
No, I mean, I love the girl, yo. But I'm only 18, yo.
Stop saying yo.
Come on, let me be just who I am,
Some people can pull off yo every other word. You're not one of them.
So we're very much in love, yo.
Okay.
But we're not engaged, eh?
Okay.
That's what okay. that's all about.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right. How about this this swag car, though?
Swag.
Do you like driving it? What's the pickup like? Because, you know, you're used to kind of really expensive, big horsepower cars.
It's not as good as my Battleac.
Yeah, you do have a
no,
Battleac.
No, it's not as good as the Battleac.
I got a Battleac.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you changed the Cadillac.
Wow, you're such
a... And I got a swag car, yo.
You're so hateable.
But the good thing about the swag car is that I can fit a lot of guys in it.
Yeah, not really, just you.
Well, a lot of clowns. I can fit a lot of clowns in it.
A lot of clowns, that's true. It doesn't
look
like a clown.
My whole posse of clowns. My insane clown posse, yo.
Come on, Justin.
File. We're putting you in the file, Justin.
I'm not even from your country. I don't know what file means, though.
Well, don't worry about it. We'll deal with it later.
All right, you don't worry about it.
Stop it.
Twice.
Just stop it, Justin.
I'm the best.
Stop it.
I'm the best, eh?
All right, stop it.
I'm the best, eh?
Okay. Ralph, what does this music mean to you?
It means one of the best damn shows on television.
Love it.
Every Friday night on Fox, Fringe, which this season has been perhaps, I know it sounds crazy, but the strongest season yet.
Has it blown your mind, Ralph?
It really has. I got a little worried when Peter Bishop disappeared from our reality, but he's back, and this whole season has been him working his way back into the universe as we know it and reestablishing his relationship with his father. Not really his father, but sort of his father. It's a long story. But Dr. Walter Bishop, John Noble, joins us on the phone right now. Hello, John.
Hi, Kevin, Ralph. Lisa, how are you?
Very good. Thank you. John, what an amazing season has been this year for Fringe.
I know, and we're coming into the final four episodes, which I think are four of our best so far. So it's been a really interesting ride, starting off a season without the Peter character really threw us back on our heels. But it's been a great growth through there.
It's got to be a great acting gig for you to play such an eccentric, weird, knowledgeable but crazy person. I mean, that's got to be fun.
No, it's got to be about as good as you can get, I think. I can't imagine anything else that would offer me the opportunities to. I think I've done about 11 versions of Walter now.
I was just thinking. I mean, I wonder how many different versions you've done. It must be.
About 11.
Double digits.
Yeah, I think it's double digits now. Yeah, it's a great key. I couldn't think of anything better, frankly.
And this season's been great because you've been able to play the relationship with Peter, getting to know him and establishing that relationship that we saw in the first season. You get to do that all over again.
Yeah, and that was really kind of painful, really, for us, for Josh and I, because we had established such a rapport, to actually have to let that go and then treat each other as strangers was really quite difficult at a personal level, but it was really good for the storytelling because it means by now we've sort of earned it back again slowly.
And this season, just as we got to know a little bit about the Observers, we finally figured out who those bald guys in those cool hats were. Tonight's episode apparently pits the Fringe team against the Observers in some sort of battle that happens in the future, right?
It does. Yeah, the Observers, and this is very interesting, the Observers have taken over the world. Now, basically what's happened is we've known these people for 4 years, just watching, looking. And when we do this flash forward, they've actually said, you're not doing a very good job of handling this. We're taking over, and you can be the underlings.
Right.
Which is a massive story, and one that we would certainly want to continue if we do continue with the series.
I got to tell you, that's the thing about Fringe that amazes me, is that I'm not a smart guy. And
what?
It's, and it's,
what? Who said that?
That's Kevin, he's telling you the truth.
And I'm telling you the truth. But and it's a complex show, but somehow you're able to explain it so well that I get it.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing talent.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. I think you do need to be able to concentrate to follow Fringe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You say, not being smart. But if you concentrate, what we got is good storytellers. And they'll take you back to it, and they'll explain. And do you know the interesting thing is, and this surprises me still, we'll be doing something, and they'll pick up from a story lead that was set up in the episode 107 or something. Right? Yeah. And go, oh, my God, there it is. So for people who have been watching for 4 years, you've got this extraordinary arc going on that pays off years later. It's really, I mean, the great writers.
This is the voice of actor John Noble here on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Fringe, which airs again tonight on Fox at 9 o'clock. You know, I know a lot of people who love Fringe, Mr. Noble, have been, you know, concerned. They see sometimes the ratings aren't as much as we'd like, and people were dismayed when the show moved to Friday. But from everything I understand, you have a lot of supporters in the Fox network, a lot of people who love this show and seem to be fighting on your behalf to keep it on the air. Is that still the case?
That's absolutely the case, and it's the same with Warner Brothers. It's not a matter of devotion to the show. I mean, they are true fans, and I know this for a fact. It's a business, and they're just saying, how do we do the numbers? What Fringe does is this extraordinary thing with the DVRs. It sort of doubles its audience in 3 days.
Right.
That doesn't get the numbers on the Friday night. And this is the whole new, the paradigm shift in ratings is going to be based on how do we cope with the fact that people don't watch on the night.
Do they, are they able to?
Well, I'm sure they have to, frankly, because, you know, down the track, that's smart people are going to say, well, there are people watching on DVRs, and then there are people watching all over the world in different social media. So
right.
Somewhere or other, we've got to find a way of counting that. Otherwise, hardly anything would stay on air.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Now, you have, what, 3 episodes left, maybe 4, and it seems like we're getting close enough to the end that at some point they have to tell you what's going on. What is the deadline for that announcement? In terms of season 5?
Look, very often announcements are not made until just before the pickup, and this is right across the networks, and that happens in May. So very often shows are sort of sitting there on the 10th of May saying, I wonder if we picked up, only to be told the next day they are or they aren't.
That's weird.
I think we'll... I know, it's very strange.
It is weird.
I think we'll know before then. My instinct is we'll know by the end of this week. Which is a bit earlier than some will know, but it's very tricky, particularly for, you know, all of our crew sitting around saying, oh, God, are we going to work next year? What's happening here?
John, we've heard the story, John, that you guys have sort of worked on several potential endings to this season to accommodate whatever happens, right?
Well, absolutely. And we've done this before, too, because it's always... It's always tricky coming towards the end of the season. So, and our writers have reset the show every year.
Yeah.
So every year has got its own arc. What we've done this year is we've built through into a pretty amazing, frankly, big double header at the end, which answers some of the great questions that have been posed in Fringe, and comes out as a really satisfying season finale. But we're aware it could be a season, so we shot some extra footage that would segue that into a series.
And right, right.
We hope we don't have to use it. But look, obviously, we're practical people. We put it in a can.
Listen to his voice, too, by the way, on top of everything else. Listen to just listen to the man talk.
Yeah, you sound like children.
We do. I feel like
you
a little girl. Like kids.
I really do. All right, well, before we have to say goodbye to Mr. Noble, Ralph, is there anything in particular you were going to try to pry out of him while we have him on?
No, I know they can't give away any details, but...
What happens tonight?
Hey, tonight you're going to see 2 guest stars who are remarkable. Big, big roles. In Henry Cusick, who used to be in Lost, and a new girl called Georgina Haig. Keep an eye on her. They're both amazing, and they're both in for major guest roles.
Fantastic.
Can't wait, John. It's been a great season, and, of course, we're big fans of the show here, and we're sure hoping we get a season 5 out of you guys, because it's great work. It's great television.
Thank you, Kevin, Ralph, Lisa. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you, John.
Cousin Sal just tweeted, Ralph, that Las Vegas has set the over-under for the Pens-Flyers game at 7 goals.
Yeah.
Well, that's because
it's a fair over-under,
they've
I think.
They've been scoring 6 to 14 goals a game. It's absurd.
Yeah, what's going on with that? That's
a lot of scoring.
Does neither team have a goalie? What's happening?
They both have goalies.
They're bad.
They're not particularly good, and their scores are particularly good for both teams as well. So it's a bad combination for people who like a low-scoring hockey. But everybody always bitches, playoff hockey's so boring, it's defensive struggles, not enough goals. Now there's a ton of goals. Oh, there's too many goals, and it's not playoff hockey. Go F yourselves, by the way.
I don't know
people
how you
are
don't
saying
like
that.
An 8-4 game.
That's
or
awesome.
No, 10-3.
Great to watch a playoff like that.
All right, this is the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. It's 8:52. Ralph's got another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Dog TV is what's going on.
Nope.
Yes.
Yep.
Nope.
Lisa's people are winning.
Nope. Oh, Boner is going to be so happy.
Dog TV.
That's literally what she said.
Dog TV is a wild success in San Diego. Apparently, it's a local programming choice on the cable system down in San Diego. Now it's ready to go nationwide.
Nope.
As you can imagine, Dog TV is programs that are specifically designed to entertain your dog. The content, says Dog TV, will keep your dog relaxed, stimulated, and entertained while you're at work.
No!
All the shows are filmed from a dog's point of view and feature specifically designed images, sounds, and music written especially for dogs. One of the songs written.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
One of the songs written especially for dogs, I believe, is that Clowny Clown Clown by by Crispin Glover. Yeah, this apparently is such a success. It's going to go nationwide, so you can find it on your cable system or perhaps DirecTV sometime soon. Dog TV, keeping your dog entertained since 2012.
No
Dog TV.
What about the dogs?
That's
a good question.
Has no one said to these people, "These are dogs"?
No. No one has.
Specific programs produced to entertain dogs.
Are they going to have like reality shows where they follow a dog around and its crazy antics? It's family.
It's funny how spoofs become real life. There was a movie called Scrooged many years ago with Bill Murray as
Ebenezer.
As the sort of the Ebenezer Scrooge character, right? Who learns an important lesson about Christmas. But he plays Francis Cross, who runs a network. And they're going to air a live version of Scrooge's A Christmas Carol for their New Year's for the Christmas Eve programming. But the other guy, the crazy old man who really owns the network, says that they're not getting enough cats watching television. They want more of a cat demo. So they're going to do a Christmas special that's the Christmas story done by all by mice. And it's an entire show of just mice acting out the Christmas story. I said, that everyone at the time thought it was funny. You're programming a show for cats.
Because that's a
now
joke.
Now Dog TV's going to be on.
Yeah.
We knew it was too good to be last, Steve. Too good to last, Steve O, and his lovely Italian girlfriend, Elisabetta Canalis, apparently calling it quits.
Too bad.
Yeah, dude.
Steve O is simply too committed to his sobriety, and apparently Elisabetta likes to live on the wild side a little bit. She likes to party. So they were not a good combination. So unfortunately, those two are no longer together.
What kind of willpower does it take for your sobriety to kick her out of your house? Are you kidding me?
Well, I guess living is better than any woman.
I agree.
You can't really enjoy women if you're not living.
I agree.
So it comes down to that decision.
Good for him.
I was out. I was gone on vacation when you had Steve-O in a few weeks ago. And I'm sure you explored with him.
We did.
How did he get her? Like, how did that even happen?
They were introduced by mutual friends, he said.
Mm-hmm. Hit it off immediately. And it was ongoing.
But how does any woman's tastes run from dating George Clooney right to dating Steve-O? Like, how is there one person who likes both of them? Talk about totally different lives.
She apparently is an open-minded young lady.
I'd be willing to bet that George Clooney, while intelligent and charismatic, is not as fun. And Steve-O is.
I bet George is a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. I bet he is, too. Yeah.
I think
you know, when he's fun, when he's jetting me to his private Lake Como home there in Italy.
I think that's fun.
That sounds fun to me. When I've got my own private lake and I can take my jet ski out there and just drive around for the weekend, that sounds like fun. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. Well, Steve-O's got that apartment in Studio City, right?
That's right. There's a pool in the complex. Right. Similar.
As long as you're out by 9 p.m.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's hours. Still, it's fun.
It's just a weird, weird thing.
And Jaleel White says he's more than just learning how to dance for Dancing with the Stars. He's lost 13 pounds. Best shape of his life. Everybody goes on the show says they end up in the best shape of their life.
It's a lot
of
work. Kirstie Alley now.
I think it's a lot of work. That's why.
Still in good shape.
He says he has sore muscles every day after practice. Who thought dancing would be such a grueling, grueling exercise?
Well, I think for 6 hours a day, it's going to hurt.
Jaleel says that he lives his life now like a divorced woman. He just lies in salt baths surrounded by candles. Poor bastard. I hope Jaleel
does
well.
He'll be on next week with us.
Awesome. And while we're talking about things that are happening next week, I know I was taunting, I don't think I was taunting him on the air, but I was taunting Patton Oswalt, our friend, because he's going to see a screening of Avengers today.
Yes.
And I was like, really? Today? That's a shit. I saw it last week. I will be giving away tickets to a special K-Rock advanced screening of the Avengers next week. So give you a reason to come back and listen to the Showbiz Beat. But I can speak from experience, people. You're going to dig it.
Plus, we have K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets next week.
What? Wow, next week sounds so much better than today.
It's not.
Sounds so much better.
Okay, it is.
Yeah.
But stick
you guys
with us.
Picked a bad day to listen to our show. Next week is when it's happening. So come on back. Today's celebrity birthday is George Takei of Star Trek fame is 75 years old today.
Oh, my. Blow out the candle.
Jessica Lange is 63 years old. Clint Howard turns 53. Don Mattingly. He is the Dodgers manager. He's 51 years old. Dodgers doing very well for themselves, by the way.
They are.
Win a lot of games. I know because Beer Mug's buying some merchandise, so I know they must be
Come
doing
on,
well.
Because
he's the most bandwagon fan for sports I've ever met in my life.
How am I
Andy Serkis, Lord of the Rings. You're getting Kings. You're buying Kings gear.
Because it's on
deep
sale.
Into the first round
it's
of the playoffs.
On sale.
Finally getting around to buying your
Not
Kings
a bandwagon
gear.
Bandwagon fan. I have tons of Kings gear already.
Andy Serkis from Lord of the Rings is 48 years old. Carmen Electra turns 40. Joey Lawrence from Blossom and Brotherly Love is 36. Miranda Kerr, the beautiful
swimsuit and Victoria's Secret model is 29 years old. And Crispin Glover, we were just talking about him and his smash hit song, Clowny Clown Clown. He is 48 years old today. We have a little taste of sure. Crispin.
I was walking on the ground. I didn't make a sound. Then I turned around and I saw a clown. Had a frown. Stood on a mound. Started barking like a hound.
All right, that's enough.
Seriously.
Barking like a hound.
Turned around, stood on a mound.
It's going to be on Dog TV. You'll see that video on
Dog
TV. What
is he, in second grade?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Friday, the end of the show. Ralph has one more showbiz beat. And here it is.
Ralph, do you mind if I take up just a second to help people out that are going to Coachella today?
I don't want
to
help anyone out. Ever. Ever.
Just a little
bit. We already
bit.
Have enough people. If you're trying to save lives, don't bother.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series. How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 14. Temperature. During the day, temperatures at Coachella can reach those similar to that of the surface of the sun. You'll be tempted to strip off all of your clothing. And even then, may consider finding a way to remove your skin. The very last thing you'll be thinking about is a jacket. However, once the sun goes down, evening temperatures can plummet to anywhere from freezing to the approximate temperature of liquid nitrogen. So bring a jacket or a sweatshirt, or your friends may find you later as a blue-lipped corpse in the parking lot. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
They just tweeted, it's already 90 degrees out there now.
Yeah.
90 now.
9:30 in the morning. 90.
Ouch. It's going to be warm. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Where do we keep that movie projector, by the way, where we don't use it once a year for Coachella? Because I'm always,
back here in
really,
the
I'm always looking for it. I want to run some home
no,
movies
right in the
on
closet.
It. I never seem to be able
and
to find it.
Why can't we get that tape transferred to DVD or something?
It's
just
old.
For a little easier play. I don't know.
I think they make it on DVD. I think it's just we got to show the old 16mm version.
That's right.
Lindsay Lohan! In the news. Guess what? She got into a scuffle at a nightclub.
No.
Come on, Lindsay?
She has returned to the scene of the alleged crime from last week. Showed up back at the Standard Hotel on Wednesday night. Went to Smoke and Mirrors, which is the name of the nightclub where she allegedly pushed that woman 2 weeks ago. Remember that big hubbub? Her people said she was never there. She doesn't go there. And she was saying, no, she can't even say the word standard. Forget about it. She has no standards.
Right.
Well, she got into it yet another woman this week. Ended up with Lindsay being on the receiving end of a flying drink, according to TMZ.com.
What a thing to do to a person who's trying to not drink, if she really is.
She's licking her face and her lips. After
thank, you, thank you so much.
You're a bitch again. Throw another one at me. Lindsay was driving there to the hotel. Well, she wasn't driving. Her friend was. Apparently, she was in the passenger seat. The driver pulled into the parking garage, valet park it, and hit another car.
Oh.
Now, Lindsay calls her dad, Michael, for help, apparently. He shows up.
Is that helpful?
He's a very helpful man.
He is helpful because he took her inside the club, and they stayed there for 2 hours.
And did what?
Now, they say neither of them drank, but they were sitting talking, apparently, in the nightclub.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Okay. If you're trying not to drink, if you're trying to stay out of trouble.
She can drink, by the way. No one says she can't drink.
Right, but
he can't. He's
caused nothing. It's caused nothing but problems for her. Why not take your business somewhere other than a nightclub?
Maybe neither of them has a home.
It could be.
What about the Chateau Marmont? Isn't that where they live?
Just spend the night on the floor of various nightclubs.
or in the back of a police car.
Around closing time, a woman in a booth apparently made a snide comment about Lindsay showing up with her dad. Lindsay got up and screamed at the woman, "Shut the F up." According to onlookers, that's when the woman threw the drink in Lindsay's face.
Okay.
Then there was a little of that.
Michael then grabbed his daughter, according to TMZ.com, and made a beeline for the door.
Thank God he's there, because he seems to be saving her at every turn.
He really is. He's the father of the year. So
they deserve each other.
She may not have been at this other place. At this other time, pushing and shoving at that nightclub, but by all accounts, she was there this week. In a similar situation.
This is what happens. She's got hot problems, like those girls in that song. Where
she's too hot.
The haters always make up stuff about it. She wasn't even at that party, Ralph.
Right.
What have we learned?
She is just like anyone else, only she's hot.
Only she's hot.
She is hot.
we had problems too.
Tacos have problems too.
We're just like you. Yeah. Except we're hot.
Except you're hot. Angelina Jolie, she's got another, she's a hot girl with hot problems.
Yeah.
Her longtime boyfriend Brad Pitt finally proposed. Us Weekly magazine says she smiled and cried when he finally gave her the ring.
How many magazine covers have there been of them breaking up?
Yeah, well, apparently they're getting married now.
5,000?
This is for real. They've been together for a long time, and now they're going to make it legal, apparently for the kids. That's why they're doing it, because the kids are getting old enough now to say, why aren't mommy and daddy married? So they're doing it for the kids.
But skinny little bitch.
By all accounts, Angelina is thrilled as well to be tying the knot with Brad, so that's nice. You guys are readers. You read much?
That's so funny.
I know you read, Kevin.
I read a little.
You look at the pictures.
Not much.
You get through a chapter or two.
I get through a chapter of every book ever made.
James Patterson.
That's it.
His novels.
Mm-hmm.
The Private series. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but
no.
It's about a private eye named Jack Morgan, who used to be at the CIA. Now he's a private eye. A gumshoe.
Yeah.
P.I.
A
dick.
It.
Private dick.
Right.
Being turned into a TV series.
All right.
No word yet who's going to play Jack Morgan. Yeah, but apparently there's enough books to last the many, many, many seasons. So.
I do watch TV. I can do that.
Do that? Then you're going to love Dog TV.
Nope.
Dog TV just announced. This is a wild success down in San Diego, and now apparently it's ready to go nationwide. ABC News reports that Dog TV is programming, as you can imagine, just for canines. All the programs on the channel are designed to keep bored canines relaxed, stimulated, and entertained while their owners are at work. Just turn it on for your dog and leave it on all day. All of the shows are filmed from a dog's point of view. I'm guessing there's a lot of crotch sniffing scenes.
Yeah, well, I mean, how much of that do I need to watch?
It's not for you.
Here are all the images. Listen to Lisa. It's not for you. She's getting defensive already for
her
dog.
I want Boner to have his TV.
All the images are designed specifically with dogs in mind, and the sounds and music is specifically written for dogs. I'm guessing it's a lot of high-pitched notes.
I don't know about you guys, but my dogs go crazy if dogs bark on TV. Like, I can't watch shows if there are dogs in them because it upsets my dog so much.
Well, maybe this doesn't have dogs in it.
I hope not, because I can't put a channel on where there's
too.
Dogs barking.
I hope not, too. I hope Dog TV is just everything everybody hopes it's going to be.
We all have high hopes.
It doesn't have any dogs in it.
We all have high hopes.
I hope the owners of Dog TV die in a fiery plane crash.
Now that's a dog.
I'm assuming it's going to be a pay channel. I don't think anyone's going to advertise Dog TV, because only dogs will be watching it and they can't buy your product.
By the way, dogs won't even watch it about half the time, probably.
Yeah.
Wandering around the house.
They'll be too busy chewing your jock strap.
That's an odd choice of items
that dogs like to chew underwear.
Not your shoes, though.
They like underwear.
Jock straps.
Bras, right? And jock straps and panties.
Didn't know that.
Dogs love them.
All right.
Yeah, that'll be on Dog TV.
I'm sure it will.
Coming up next, jock straps, bras, and panties. Some of your favorite things to chew on, kids. Stick around for Dog TV.
And for a half hour, they'll just montage a bunch of panties.
Dogs just salivating, licking the screen. dogs. Now we got a TV channel for him.
That's happening.
This country's just lost it. Lost it. Let's get out of here. Today's celebrity birthday is Miranda Kerr. She is a Victoria's Secret model and a lovely, lovely young lady. She is 29 years old. Joey Lawrence. Did you see that reunion commercial with Blossom and Joey? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, it was awesome. For Old Navy? You didn't see it?
No.
Blossom's there with her hat on, giving away colors.
Yeah.
And Joey's there. Says, whoa.
Wow, that... sounds good.
It's magical. It's a magical moment for everybody involved. Keyboardist and bassist Marty Crandall of The Shins is 37 years old. Carmen Electra turns 40. Andy Serkis of Lord of the Rings fame and also Planet of the Apes. He played Caesar, I want to say, in that film. Is that the name of the ape?
I think so.
48
so.
Years old. Don Mattingly, the Dodger manager, is 51. Clint Howard turns 53 today. Jessica Lange turns 63. George Takei, Mr. Sulu from Star Trek.
Oh, my.
75 years old. And Crispin Glover, the actor Crispin Glover. Well, why is George laughing at Crispin Glover?
I don't know.
He is a 48 years old.
He heard his music?
I guess he heard Clowny Clown Clown, or These Boots Are Made for Walking. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have fun at Coachella. We'll see you on Monday. We have tickets.
For Coachella?
For the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast. On Monday,
up.
Along with Harvey Levin, Nick Offerman.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm so high.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke your weed.
Roll another one.
Marijuana's bad, but
just like the other one.
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Bomb, man.
And I need another hit.
Out the joint, pass it along.
That's right, that's right. Puff, puff, pass, man.
I don't know any of the terminology.
Puff, oh. Puff,
puff, puff,
pass.
Pass.
Pass the joint.
All right.
Roll another one.
Wake and bake.
Just like the other one.
I'm gonna smoke pot every day.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
I don't have another cent.
Your marijuana humor is so humorous.
But don't bogart that joint.
I am a recreational user, okay?
Just pass it around.
Bomb, man.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
Just pass it.
Put a stop to this so that I can get out of here. See, I'm not built to work 5 days a week.
I don't want to do this show anymore. Shut it down.
I'm out of here. I gotta go have sex with a lot of girls.
Thank you for listening. God bless you. God bless Louisiana.
What?
And God bless America.
Let's blow this pop stand and never look back.
Arrivederci, baby.
Well, I will see you Monday.